This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And welcome into hour number two. Diehard Nation, thanks so much for tuning in. Bobby Krivitsky, so I'm exhausted, I'm tired all the time. Now, I come back from my trip, and clearly it was a road trip, a week long. It was not a lot of sleep. And when, you know, you were sleeping, wasn't very good sleep. So I get it. I'm tired. But I got back on Wednesday, late Wednesday, and Thursday morning I got my second COVID shot, the Pfizer. You know what? It didn't really bother me. My arm was really sore, but I was flat out wiped out. Now, I know I was wiped out from the trip, but then on top of that, the second shot for the COVID situation, man, it wiped me out. One night I went to bed at like 7:45. I was so tired.
Yeah, and you told me before the show that you're still...
I'm still groggy. I'm still tired.
Still getting there, but a few solid eight-hour sleeps, you'll be back to being the pep that we know and love.
I think I rolled out of bed at like 9 o'clock this morning. I'm like, man, I'm still tired. Like 3 days later, it was Thursday I got the shot. And
slowly
I'm still exhausted.
Meander down, get some coffee.
But I'm all protected, man. No COVID for this guy right here.
The road to freedom.
You got one shot?
One shot. Just got it today.
Yeah.
So in 3 weeks.
You feel all right?
Yeah, totally fine.
So which one did you get?
Got Pfizer as well.
All right, yep.
In the left arm.
You didn't get the Johnson & Johnson that's killing
Thank
people.
Thank God, no.
All right.
Although I'll say this too. That is really presented in this fear tactic type of way. It's like six people out of however many. That translates to a very small percentage.
So, but you know what? If you're one of the six, then, you know what? But, then you have a reason to gripe.
But absolutely. But for all the people that are freaking out who've got it and have had nothing happen, I think it could have been presented in a much more responsible manner.
AC, you get your shots yet?
I have not, since I still have the natural antibodies in the system.
Yeah, you do, because you actually had it. You had a rough stretch, didn't you?
I actually had food poisoning this past weekend. I'd take COVID over food poisoning any day of the week.
Wow, dude. The luck just continues with you.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take a break here. When we return, we're doing 8 burning questions with my man, Bobby, coming up next. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Bobby Krivitsky's with me. Willie's Super
is that
Brew.
A question mark?
Always with me. Willie's Super Brew Hard Seltzer blended with real fruit. It's gluten free, low in carbs and calories. It's brewed with thousands of pounds of real fruits and spices, meaning it's bursting with real flavor. It's about drinking real. A drink made from real ingredients by real people with real impact. It was all started by a goat farmer named Willie and a surfer named Nico in a Cape Cod beach, and the rest is history. Check them out at superbrew.com. That's superbrew.com or at Drink Super Brew. All right, 8 burning questions. I don't know how much they're burning, but we're going to get into them right now. You ready?
Let's see it.
Are you sure?
I mean, it sounds like you're not particularly amped up, Pep. We got to get your energy up because the grogginess is starting to take a hold of you. So we got to get you amped back up.
Again, you know the energy level I always have in this program, but I'm not going to lie to you. For the last couple of days, I feel like a train hit me.
Yeah, I mean, you've been through the ringer, and so you're just trying to gut it out right now in this final hour.
And no booze, by the way. No booze, which is also a shocker. Maybe I should have some booze.
Maybe we'll get some Super Brew in you.
All right, maybe.
But you got to run through the tape here.
Hey, man, question number one. If someone told you the Sox would be in first place in the AL and the New York Yankees would be in last place, that would be the New York Yankees, 15-plus games into the season, would you believe them?
Now, look, after that atrocious start against the Orioles, I was
swept.
The one trying to, you know, calm the masses, saying it's a 162-game season, take a deep breath. But I certainly couldn't have envisioned such a dramatic turnaround and the Yankees getting off to such an abysmal start.
The start of the Red Sox season, getting swept by the Orioles, the worst team in all of baseball, and it was like the Cleveland Indians movie there, Major League. Like, who are these freaking guys? Like, they stink.
But now look, second highest winning percentage in baseball, second best run differential. They're rolling right now.
I know the Celts are struggling right now against the Bulls, but and we make the joke that every time the Celts are on and we're doing the show, they stink and they get blasted. But the Boston team, since I've been away, away from this program and doing my road trip in Panama City Beach, Florida, the Celtics, Red Sox, and Bruins have won 22 of their last 24 games. I'm not quite sure what happened. Maybe I should go away more
often. I think
we
know what happened. Pat, we need to send you out of state for the draft.
I'm like the human mush. The New England sports mush.
Come NFL draft weekend, you might be back in PCB.
I don't know what's happening, but again, the Bruins couldn't win a game when I left. The Red Sox were winning a few games. They still weren't this team we're looking at right now. And the Celtics couldn't win to save their life. Now, all of a sudden, all these teams are winning.
So you're gone. Bruins get Taylor Hall and get hot. The Celtics are 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 6 in a row. We'll see what happens tonight. Red Sox, we just discussed. I mean, like I said, NFL draft, you might have to be somewhere else.
You mentioned AC kills it with the rejoins, the music. Maybe he should just play On the Road Again, Willie Nelson, and just get me on the road again. Right?
Load up the truck.
You know
this
what I mean?
This is going to be the theme music.
All right. Question three here. Zag star Jalen Suggs going pro. Is this the right move? I mean, some people have this kid going as high as 3 in the draft.
Yeah, this was always a one-and-done player.
Okay.
And, Pep, this is the opening I need to remind you that one of my first shows on here, one of the first strikes that you gave me was for telling you Baylor's going to win the national championship this year.
No, I didn't give you
you gave me a strike.
That was
one of the first strikes I got from Anthony Pepe.
Prove it.
Oh, we're going to play up the audio at some point. Don't you worry. That's coming down the pipe.
So you said Baylor would win, and this is when they got blasted in the Big 12 championship.
In the Big 12 tournament.
Yep.
They lost, I believe, to Oklahoma State because Cade Cunningham went off.
Yep.
And you said, that's an atrocious pick. You should be embarrassed. And I said, now they're going to be fresh for the tournament. And sure enough, they steamrolled everyone, including Gonzaga.
See, I mushed that as well. And look what happened. All right.
You know, we all camp at 1,000.
You like this kid Suggs, though?
Oh, yeah. He's terrific. Gets it done at both ends. He deserves to be a high pick.
Staying at the Zags, Chet Holmgren, the number one high school player in 2021, commits to Gonzaga. Instead of going to the G League, is this a smart move? Because a lot of people felt like he should have went to the G League.
The gamble with the G League is that an NBA team doesn't own your rights. So they're not pushing for you to get playing time. You're going up against grown men.
Yep.
And if you're not going to earn it, they're not going to play you. So I don't mind him going to Gonzaga and showcasing himself there, just like Jalen Suggs did.
Again, we've talked about it on the program numerous times about Gonzaga being like the destination now, and it is awesome. But I still love seeing like the number one high school player, you know, coming out, and he goes to the Zags and not Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, UNC. I love seeing this. It's fun.
Gonzaga is the Clemson of college basketball, where they're
that's a great analogy.
They're trying to muscle their way into becoming a blue blood.
Yep.
They've been really good for a really long time. Mark Few obviously has done a terrific job, and now they're starting to get these top recruits, and it's exciting to think what the future could hold for them.
Hey, I'm not that sports talk radio guy that lied and said, man, I watched this game. It was awesome. This was, I think, the night where I went to sleep at 7:45. I missed the Celtics-Golden State Warriors game, which I've been told was off the charts. I did see the highlights where they went back and forth, and Steph Curry went off the charts, and Jason Tatum went off the charts. But I'm curious to get your take, Bobby. Curry says that Tatum earned his respect. Does Tatum actually care that Curry says he earned my respect? I mean, I know Curry's a superstar in this league. He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best ever play. One of the best shooters, if not the best shooter ever to play in the association. I get all of that. But Jason Tatum's a really good player. He's an all-star. He's proven he can carry his team to the Eastern Conference Finals numerous times. When Steph Curry comes out and says this, like, does Jason Tatum go, hey, you know what? I finally made it. Yay!
Yeah, you gave his credentials. Tatum's already there. That ship has sailed.
Do you know what I mean?
So it's one thing if Steph Curry said it, Tatum's rookie season.
Exactly.
But at this point, I mean, I'm sure he appreciates it, but doesn't really care because he knows who he is and probably just surprised that Steph is this late to the party.
That's exactly it. I'm seeing the story, and it's a headline on the sports ticker on ESPN. Steph Curry, you know, appreciates Jason Tatum and gives him, and he earned his respect. And I'm going, have you watched this guy, Tatum? He's pretty good. Like Steph Curry finally realized this and has to come out and say, like, he earned my respect. That's what he needed to become an all-star and one of the best players in the game.
Steph had another question we'll take this week too. He's put up like 30 points in 10 straight games. He's on fire. But then he went to say that this is the best stretch of his career. The guy won back-to-back MVPs, one of them unanimously. So I think that Steph Curry's hot takes are swinging a miss on both.
Just keep chewing on that mouthpiece, buddy. burning question six here. Michigan QB Joe Milton transfers to Tennessee in the transfer portal. What are your overall thoughts on this transfer portal? I know we've talked about it a little bit on the program and throughout the weeks. I think it's a disgrace to college sports. I think it's a bad look for college sports. I don't think it helps college sports. But what do you think, dude?
I think the option deserves to be there. It's about these individuals being able to properly gauge what's best for them. Sometimes the answer is you've got to stick it out and earn your stripes.
Exactly.
Sometimes you've got to go the Jalen Hurts route, where you stick it out at Alabama, you end up helping them get to the national championship game, then you go and do your thing at Oklahoma and boost your draft stock. But sometimes the only way for you to get to the next level, even if that's not one of the major professional leagues in North America, if it's going to get overseas, for example, is to go transfer to a program that's better suited for you. We shouldn't penalize these kids if they made a mistake when they were in high school, choosing the wrong place. If better players came in after them,
fair enough.
Now they're not getting the minutes they need. So I think the option deserves to be available.
This is going to be a tough one, and I'll give you my take first. If you could punch any media member in the face, of course we're not condoning violence. This is what's for charity, of course.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So you could punch any media member in the face for charity. Who would it be? To me, it's still Stephen A. Smith. He was hosting SportsCenter earlier, and I don't know what it is. I've met him a few times out in Vegas. You know, I'm not going to say we're pals. I just, you know, said hello to him and talked to him a little bit. He's tight with Ryan Russillo, and Ryan introduced me to him. I was just never a fan. I don't like his shtick. I don't at all. And then I'm watching him today, and he just annoys the bag out of me. Like, again, for charity, I'd like to just punch him right in the throat.
That's interesting. I've never met Stephen A. I like him. I respect where he's at. Honestly, I hate to give a non-answer here, but no one comes to mind. Pat, maybe we'll just step in the squared circle.
See, I like that. Did you bring it on to me? That's fine. That's cool.
Yeah, you know, we'll sell sponsorships.
There's got to be somebody there, dude. There's got to be somebody that you don't like.
There was no one who came to mind as far as, you know,
fair enough.
I can't stand this guy to the point that when he comes on, I want to just punch him in the face.
For charity, of course.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that sways me, and I'll give you an answer in a little bit. But at the moment,
Think about it.
There's no one I have that much disdain for.
Hey, man, finally, how much baseball are you investing your time in? Again, we talked about how bad the Yankees are. We talked about the team that you're, you know, the town that you're in. The Boston Red Sox are pretty good. How much baseball overall are you investing your time in?
Baseball is a regional sport. People like their team, and that, for the most part, that's the only squad that they watch, and that's really the camp that I'm in. You know, there's a few that I try to keep up with.
Oh, so if there's a game on late night, I'm watching it. I don't care who it is.
But usually there are other sports around too. So there's teams. There are other teams that I watch and keep a close eye on. But for the most part, the only MLB team that captures my interest is the Red Sox.
Fair enough. Let's take a timeout. When we return, we will do more NBA talk with Mr. Basketball Insider himself, Bobby Krivitsky. I'm Anthony Pepe. You're listening to the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. There's no need to purchase a tool if you're only going to use it once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of the rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hanging out, Bobby Krivitsky from Basketball Insiders. Let's get to the sport that you love, the association round ball here, man. I think I asked you this before, but I forget, so I'm going to ask you again, man.
Let's do it.
NBA loves these super teams, or do they? Like, how does the NBA do you think they want to stop creating these super teams, or you think they feel like, you know what, it creates that buzz where, you know what, maybe people weren't talking about the Nets prior to this year, but then you see what happened. You build the super team. Now everybody's talking about the Nets, you know, and all these super teams that have been built in the past, and obviously, you know, AD and LeBron teaming up and whatever. Do you think the NBA will try to intervene and stop this in the future? Is it good for the sport? Or do you think that they like, hey, you know what, it's okay because people are talking about it, it's buzzing?
Super teams sell. The NBA wants them. It's gone too far. There's nothing they can do about it. They've tried to incentivize financially. Hey, your team that drafts you, they can offer the most money to keep you, but the money has gotten so large, and the sponsorships and the endorsement deals.
There's nothing they can do to stop this in the future. Nothing.
Guys will take that quote-unquote pay cut to go elsewhere. And a really interesting article that once came out about these sneaker deals is someone said the line, it was for an ESPN.com article, I believe it was Nick DiPaola, that if you put LeBron James on Truth Serum and asked who does he consider his primary employer at the time he was on the Cavaliers, he wouldn't say them. He would say Nike. That's the one who goes with him when he goes to Miami or the Lakers or jumps around wherever. That's the one who's got the lifetime deal with him now. So these endorsement deals are so major, and the contracts themselves to play in the league are at an all-time high. And so they'll take that pay cut to get out of a situation they don't want to be in.
I mentioned those Nets. They're up there in these power rankings. Utah Jazz, Philly, top of most power rankings. And the Phoenix Suns are up there as well. If you had to give your top three power rankings, I mentioned those four. Does it include those four? Is there somebody else in there? Am I missing? What do you got?
I think you pretty much nailed it. It's a shame that the Nuggets lost Jamal Murray for the season.
Terrible.
They might have been the team who could give the Lakers the hardest run to come out of the West.
That injury was horrific.
Now they're an ideal opponent, and it looks like, looking at the standings right now, that the Lakers, whether they're fourth or fifth, are going to get Denver in the first round. That makes their road back to the finals a little bit easier. The Jazz, everything about them points to them being legitimate, but what we see time and time again is when you don't have not even the first, but either of the two best players on the floor in a seven-game series, throw those regular season numbers out the window because you're not coming out of that series and getting to the next round. And then the Clippers, this looks like the year, thanks to the Rondo acquisition, like we talked about earlier, that we get the battle for L.A.
Yep.
We'll probably get it in the Western Conference Finals. And with Rondo there running controls, they have a legitimate shot to knock off the purple and gold.
I mentioned the Phoenix Suns. Do you think they can compete for that West title?
I really don't. They're having a great regular season.
Dude.
They've also been hit the least hardest by injuries or COVID-19. I think that this is a team that's kind of maxing out during the regular season, and certainly would think that as the two seed or wherever they end up, that they'll get out of the first round. But once they get to the Final Four in the West, I think that's as far as they go.
Hey, we talked about it earlier. We're watching it in here. Jabari Parker, again, the number two pick in the 2014 draft, had all those injuries, and Danny Ainge brings him in, and it's typical of a Danny Ainge signing, bringing a top five, top ten player in. I think Sean Grandy tweeted out the other day that Danny Ainge has brought in so many top ten players over his career here as GM with the Boston Celtics. What are your expectations for Mr. Parker?
My expectations are, I think what we saw against the Warriors is what he's going to deliver on a night-to-night basis. Play hard. This is someone who, even with a deal that goes into next year, is fighting for a job because the Celtics can easily move on from that contract if it doesn't work out this season or any point next year. Someone who gives them more scoring off the bench. He can play the four as a big wing. That's something they don't have in that capacity. Semi Ojeleye, better three-point shooter, better defender, but less reliable scorer overall. So with Parker banging on the glass, he got four offensive rebounds and was cleaning them up against Golden State, with him being able to score from mid-range. But then the downside and the reason he wasn't on a team before that isn't just the injuries. It's the questions about his mobility defensively, lazy turnovers, lack of hustle getting back on defense. So this is someone who, in a low-dependency role, playing spot minutes, hopefully that everything works out where he can really just be a positive because his negatives are offset by who he's sharing the floor with.
We're watching the Bulls up 94-90 with about 2 minutes to go here against Boston. What's going on with this Bulls team? I mean, who are they?
They're a team that has pushed their chips into the middle of the table at the trade deadline, acquiring Nikola Vucevic, acquiring Daniel Theis as well. They want to get back into the playoffs. It's been a mini drought for them. They want to get their young guys up and running. And it's interesting because they trade Wendell Carter Jr. Larry Markkanen is a guy who was available at the deadline who might not be there come next season. So they felt that the idea of maximizing Zach LaVine, who was an all-star this season, pairing him with Vucevic should be enough to get them not only in the play-in tournament, but into the first round of the playoffs legitimately. LaVine's injury, though, could be a game changer, so we'll see what happens with the Bulls. But certainly, they can be a tough team to play because of their offensive firepower.
There will never be another Michael Jordan. I know LeBron James is close, and some people argue that LeBron James, when it's all said and done, will be the best player of all time. I will disagree until I get buried 6 feet under, because Michael Jordan's the guy. But don't you feel bad for Bulls fans? They're just constantly, every year, it's always going to be in the shadow of Michael Jordan and those teams. And they will never, ever, ever be those teams ever again. I mean, they may get another superstar. They've had some superstars come in and out. But they're never going to have a Michael Jordan-esque player to run their franchise and their team. And it just you feel like year in and year out, the Bulls are just constantly under that shadow of who are the Bulls.
There's never going to be another Chicago Bulls. These super teams that get together, they last about 4 years on average at this point. So the idea that one is going to win six titles, two three-peats, is just not going to happen. And the Bulls fans that I feel bad for are the ones that weren't alive to experience Jordan in his prime doing this, establishing that dominance, that where you can look at LeBron being a better all-around player. You can look at LeBron. He's got a legitimate chance to go down as the all-time scoring champion, despite being a pass-first player. And all the things that he does, he might have a few more rings in his future too. But if you saw Michael Jordan's dominance, you understand that there are people who don't care about what I just mentioned. Jordan is the GOAT and always will be. Doesn't matter how many rings or accolades LeBron ends up with.
Kevin Durant out for the Nets with a thigh injury. Is this really just a rest thing?
No, he got hurt. But they're going to manage it because they can afford to prioritize him sitting out games.
Don't you just feel like one of these guys are always out with an injury, though?
It's been the case.
It's ridiculous.
Someone's always out. They don't care about the one seed. They've made it abundantly clear. They could have managed the rotation differently with Durant to play Philly. They had a back-to-back. He only plays in one of those games. He plays the first game, not against the Sixers. And they shouldn't care about it. The only thing that matters for that team, as long as they're healthy, they're the title favorites.
Are they taking the same approach, or I should say, are the Lakers taking the same approach with AD and LeBron when AD's finally back? And again, they're just kind of waiting until they get to the playoffs and then turning it on.
Yeah, but those were more concerning injuries. Davis with the tendinosis and a calf strain. LeBron got his ankle rolled up on. So
it's a high ankle sprain, wasn't it?
Yeah, so both of them getting ready to come back soon. Davis probably this week, but those were a little more legitimate cases, if you will, a little more concerning situations. But, definitely no need to rush either one back.
You mentioned the hottest team in the association are the Clip Joint, and 8-2 in their last 10 games and the way they're playing right now. If they continue to play this way and click on all cylinders, can they beat this Lakers team?
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Wow, that's a stretch little bit.
I don't think that's a stretch to say they definitely can. I think it's a stretch to say definitely will. Definitely can with Kawhi Leonard, who, you got to see how it unfolds in a series, but he can be better than Anthony Davis. He can hold his own against LeBron James. You add Paul George. You add the Rondo effect. Serge Ibaka in there now. They probably have better depth and more productive role players than the Lakers on top of it.
Paul George is the most underrated superstar in the league.
No, he hasn't earned it. He's too inconsistent in the postseason, needs to come up bigger. Maybe with Rondo there, this is the year for that.
He's so filthy watching, though. And again, when you watch him, how smooth he is and everything he can do, and he can do every aspect of the game, he can do it, and he can do it very well. And you just wonder why he's not a bigger star.
Just not consistent enough in the biggest moments. Injury's a factor, but just needs to do it when the lights are the brightest.
All right, well, let's take a break. One more time out here. When we return, we'll talk in NFL draft from our lads, Dan Shonka, former NFL scout. He's going to join us next on the Progressive Guest Line. You keep it right here. NFL draft talk with the Diehards Sports Map. Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, east in Boston, Massachusetts. My friend tonight is Bobby Krivitsky from Basketball Insiders, but he's a big draft nut, so we're going to talk NFL draft. Before we do that, also, our friends were thrilled to extend our partnership with Mamitas. It's a hard seltzer, real tequila, sparkling water, and natural flavors. It's only 95 calories with a 5% ABV. Flavors include lime, mango, paloma, and pineapple. Pineapple's my favorite. Mamitas keeps a light and refreshing taste while staying authentic to the iconic tequila cocktails that have inspired bartenders for decades. Ask for them today at your local retailer or favorite watering hole. For more information, check them out at drinkmamitas.com. That's drinkmamitas.com, or follow them on Twitter and Instagram at drinkmamitas, hashtag mucho delicious. Let's get back to it. The Progressive guest line has been cooking tonight. Progressive, make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Former scout with the Eagles, Chiefs, and the Washington football team. GM scout from Our Lads, draft expert Dan Shonk is on the line. Hey, Dan, it's Anthony and Bobby in Boston. How are you? Thanks for taking the time.
You betcha, guys. Great being with you as always. And yeah, it's less than 2 weeks before the Scout Super Bowl now. So we're anxiously look, as everyone is, to see where these quarterbacks are going to go.
Hey, when was the last time, Dan, you saw a draft this quarterback heavy? And on top of that, there were so many teams that are in search of a QB1.
Well, you know, ironically enough, it might have been when I was with the Eagles you know, Tim Couch went first, and
out of Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Well, yep. Tim Couch
Kentucky.
Out of Kentucky. Yeah, out of Kentucky. You know, and then
Eric Crouch. I'm thinking about. Yep.
Yeah, and then we got Donovan McNabb third.
Sure.
You know, out of Syracuse. So yep. It might have been that year, because I think there was about four or five that went in the first round. But yep. Dante Culpepper, you know, and but you know, it remains to be seen how many of these guys will be a star down the line.
We all know that Trevor Lawrence is going number one in Jacksonville. If he struggles in the NFL, what will be the biggest reason?
I would say, I mean, I always put it on the coaches and the organization and the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach, because the talent is there. I think he's got the eye of the literal tiger, being a Clemson tiger, and I think he'll be focused and ready to go. And so I think that he will be, and he's a real stable guy. I think,
yep.
You know, it's kind of like when you're, you know, into a doctor's office or you're going to have an operation. You don't want a doctor that's up and down. You want somebody that's flatline. And I think that's the way Trevor is.
Dan, everyone knows about Kyle Pitts, but who are some of the other tight ends in this class that people should get familiar with?
Wait, I'll tell you, there's a guy right in your neck of the woods in Boston there that
Hunter.
I think he's a – you got it. And he is a terrific football player. And I'm not so sure – I mean, it's arguable with the other tight ends and what have you, but I'm not so sure he isn't the second best tight end in this draft. He had a great workout athletically. He's a true Y tight end, blocking and catching the ball. Tough kid. You know, I think that he ended up running 4.7 at his workout and everything. And but I he's a very talented guy that can run and block. And so he's going to be in the running with Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame, maybe. And then both those guys can run faster than Pat Freiermuth from Penn State. So I think they may go ahead of him in the draft, despite what a lot of the pundits say out there.
So who is Hunter Long, are you talking about, from Boston College? Who is the NFL comp to him? Who do you compare him to?
Oh, right now, I tell you what, I look at these guys as individual type players, but I guess, you know, Olsen, who recently retired, you know,
Greg Olsen
from Seattle. Yep. Somebody in that elk.
Okay. Fair enough. Hey, man, if there's a player that everyone seems to be overlooking right now, that just not even on anybody's radar, who would that be?
Well, I tell you, that's always a tough question, but I think that we certainly like, and I don't know that he's being overlooked, but I think that he's not maybe getting the play that he should, but Azur Ojulari from Georgia, the outside pass rush linebacker, I mean, he's going to be in the first round, but it's a matter of how high he's going to go in that first round, because I think he's going to be a annual Pro Bowl type pass rusher. He was only a redshirt sophomore this past year, and he's really explosive. I mean, he plays like his hair is on fire and somebody dropped hot coals down his britches. So I tell you, he's a flyer off that edge now.
Dan, your answer leads perfectly into my question, which is, beyond Kwity Paye and beyond Ojulari, is there any other edge defenders in this class you think has a legitimate chance to get up into the first round?
You know, I do, but I do have mixed emotions about him, because he wasn't a real productive guy. He's a great workout guy, but boy, his production was not very good this past year, and it was mediocre 2 years ago, and that's Jason Owe from Penn State. He's got the length. When he's one of those kind of guys that you want him off the bus first, passes the hoof test, all that, but you really worry about that production.
Joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Quote, Buy, and Save on Home Insurance and Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Former scout with the Eagles, Chiefs, and the Washington football team. General manager, scout draft expert from Our Lads, OurLads.com, the expert himself, Dan Shonka. Hey, Dan, talk a little bit about the running back from UNC, Michael Carter. Where do you project him to go?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael, we had him originally in the third round, and maybe that's where he'll go, but he's not a very big guy, and you worry about that durability. Now, he is, every football team out there, NFL team, wants a third down back, okay, to play in the rotation, and that's kind of what he is. He won't be your feature guy on first and second down, but he will be the guy that you can bring in a third down, line him up in the slot. He's a really good, he's got quick twitch, he's in and out of his breaks really fast, and he can run the ball between the tackles if you had to at times, but you wouldn't want to. You know, you might give him the ball 10 to 12 times a game, move him around different alignments and things, but he's an undersized guy, and you always worry about that durability.
Is the running back position still the toughest to figure out and determine what's going to happen in the draft?
Well, it always depends on the team that drafts him, you know, and so it's is a guy going to be better as a – zone running back, like this year. I think that, you know, when you're looking at guys like, Najee Harris, for instance, excellent zone runner, Travis Etienne, he's a slasher. He's quick to and through the hole. Now, Carter's roommate or, backfield mate, Javonte Williams, here's a guy that's, 5'10" and change. He's muscled up and he's about 220 pounds. Now, he's not going to take it to the house, but he's going to get those tough 2 and 3 yard runs for you. And then he'll break, you know, an occasional 20, 30 yard run. And, he's got really good hands. And that's the thing that, you know, people, like about Carter is those, he's got excellent hands coming out of the backfield.
Dan, someone who I feel like a lot of people weren't familiar with during the season was Tulsa star Zaven Collins. What's your assessment of his game?
Yeah, well, he kind of reminds you of the old-time linebackers. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's a sideline-to-sideline guy. And he did have 4 interceptions this year. Now, in fairness to Zaven, he had a lot of those thrown right to him. You know, he didn't go jump up and pluck them out of the air. But he did have 4 interceptions, and he's also a pretty good blitzer off the edge. But he can run. So he can run a little faster than Dick Butkus's and the Ray Nitschke's in those days. But he's A very athletic guy that some teams will line up as a Sam linebacker. Some people will put him inside to in that 4-2-5 scheme that they run, and he'll be able to drop back into coverage or line up in a slot against tight ends, flex tight ends. But he's going to go. My guess is later in the first round. The only thing really about him that's, you know, kind of, you know, questionable. Yeah, I always like those linebackers with great instincts, and his instincts seem to be a little off at times. He has to see it and then go to it, whereas, you know, there's a lot of really good linebackers that, boy, they could just feel it and boom, they're there. They're waiting at the pass, even guys that don't run as fast as Zaven.
And, Dan, moving to the secondary, this is a great cornerback class, or at least has the potential to be, I'll say. Patrick Surtain the second, J.C. Horn, Caleb Farley at the top of it. Who else further down on the depth chart stands out and catches your eye?
Well, one thing you want to keep an eye on Farley. Now, I don't know. He did pass the physicals, I guess, last week, but he's had some injury problems, and we actually slid him out of the first round at the top of the second, although you could argue he's the best corner in this draft. But as long as he passes the medicals, yeah, he's going to be in that middle group. But Greg Newsome is a speedster from Northwestern. He ended up running 4.39, 4.38 at his workouts, and a 6'1", about 190. Really good cover guy. Not a great tackler, but he can drag you down. And then you're looking at some guys like Aaron Robinson from Central Florida, a physical guy that around 6'4". 195, and again in a 4-3 range. Guy that's athletic that secondary coaches are going to like to work with. Now, he wasn't overly productive at Florida, but Marco Wilson is a terrific athlete, and he ended up running, I mean, he vertical 43 and change, and he ran 4-3 something, and but he didn't always translate that to the field. Now, another guy, a pair of them we really like out of Georgia, Eric Stokes, big physical corner, can really run. Tyson Campbell from Georgia, a little bit bigger, but not quite as fast as Eric Stokes. So, and then if you want a big long arm guy like Seattle absolutely loves, you got Infantu Mela Follow from Syracuse, which
from Massachusetts,
I butcher his
as
name.
Well.
You got it.
Hey, Dan, after the number one pick, Urban Meyer and the Jaguars, what do they do? Do they give protection to Trevor? Do they draft weapons for him? Do they go defense? What's the strategy if you're the Jaguars?
Well, I tell you, they're looking in a lot of different ways there. They've brought in some guys in free agency, tight end, what have you. I think tight end is another position, though, that I think that they would like to get more weapons, because, you know, those tight ends are good underneath guys in your safety valve type guys, and but I think they're going to be looking at in the offensive line. I think they'll be looking for a tackle. I think one thing that Urban really likes are those little quick inside outside slot type receivers. So I think they're going to go that way. If Rondale Moore's there at 33, I think that's a consideration. I think that another running back to fit in that rotation, I think they would consider that. Pass rushers, Urban's always big in speed and pass rushers, and I think Quincy Roche at maybe 106 in that area, and then I think strong safety, I think they'll be looking at in corners, whether it's a nickel corner or an outside guy, I think they'll continue to look there, and then they might finish it off at 249 with a big nose tackle, Slayton from the University of Florida.
Hey, Dan, we got about 10 days left for the draft. How much sleep do you get leading up to the draft?
Well, I tell you, I sleep like a baby. What's that, up all night or something like that? So, you know, I'm really excited to see where these quarterbacks and some of these guys that didn't play this year, how teams are going to approach that. You know what I mean? If, the guy didn't play this year, although he was great 2 years ago, are they going to pull the trigger on him and draft him early this year?
Hey, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Looking forward to it, guys. Thanks a million.
All right, there he is, former scout with the Eagles, Chiefs, and the Washington football team, the GM scout, draft expert from Our Lads, OurLads.com, Dan Shonka joining us. Take our final timeout of the show. We'll come back, tell you about our friends at Rocket Mortgage, and wrap things up. He's Bobby Krivitsky. I'm Anthony Pepe. We are the Diehards, and you are listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
The last hour of the Diehards presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can. Happy birthday to Hall of Fame Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, 40 years old today. Also happy birthday, 44th birthday, to Maria Sharapova. What's up? Happy birthday to Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, shout out to JBJ.
I hate that it says Brewers outfield next to this.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's just, that doesn't feel right. It just doesn't sit well with me. Yeah,
Mookie in L.A., Jackie in Milwaukee.
But it should say Brewers outfield, former Red Sox outfielder. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right. But Jackie Bradley is 31 years old today. Kelly Olynyk, 30 years old today.
Shout out to the clinic.
The great Joe Mauer, former Twins catcher, is 38 years old. And speaking of great Twins, Frank Viola, 61 years old. I feel old. And then this one shocked me today, too. Spike Owen is 60 years old, former Expos and Mariners shortstop. He played for the Red Sox. Why is that not in there? I loved him.
I don't know him or Frank Viola.
No, you don't. I know. You're so young, dude. Andrew Carlson running rock and roll control in Houston, still the best in the business. Even though I was away, you're still pretty good, man.
Appreciate you, Pep.
Bobby Krivitsky, I'll give you a B-minus today.
I'll take it, Pep.
All right.
I feel like that might boost my average.
Patrick Gilroy is back tomorrow. You guys have a good night. We're the Diehards.